up, y'all? What's going on, brother?
Dream Champs Radio.
Legendary Queens rapper.
Hey, hang segue, this your boy N-O-R-E.
He's a Miami hip-hop pioneer.
What up, is DJ EFN?
Together, they drink it up with some of the biggest players in music and sports.
You know what I mean?
The most professional, unprofessional podcast and your number one source for drunk facts.
This is Drinks Champ Radio, where every day is New Year's Eve.
Let's go!
I want to ask you, Tupac on Death Row. How was that? Because you had just beat the murder trial, correct?
Yes.
You had just beat the murder trial.
Yes.
Pac comes to Death Row, and then Murder Was the Case was like the... Was that the first record y'all recorded? Or am I mistaken?
No, the first
record... Is that the first record that came out?
No, the first record that me and him did was America's Most Wanted.
That's what I said. That's what I said in my mind. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What I said? I said Gangsta Party.
Yeah. No.
No. You said Murder Was the
Murder
Case.
Murder Was the Case, which is only him.
Oh, there. Yeah. I meant there. In my mind, I was saying some
drunk
other
facts.
Shit. I'm dyslexic. I'm sorry.
He was my friend before he got
before
on Death Row.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he was at that same Source Awards, didn't he?
He wasn't there. We had a cutout billboard of him inside of a cell. We had cells and everybody was in the cell. His billboard was cut out in the cell. He wasn't even on Death Row or talked about being on Death Row. We just did that as a symbol of representing him and fucking with him because he was my friend.
Right.
So that was a play that I did to put him in there to represent it.
Wait, so you saying he was your friend? So you saying...
I'm the reason why he was on Death Row.
Oh, wow. I ain't never heard that.
That's what I...
That he was my friend.
Right.
And... my thing was speaking with Suge, because after he had got shot, mm-hmm. I had flew to New York like the next day, mm-hmm. and it was like shit was going bad for him, and he had got locked up, and I was like, man, Suge, we need to put that nigga with us, cuz.
How far back is y'all's friendship?
Poetic Justice, Rap Party was the first night I met him, and then we became friends, and actually MC Breed, rest in peace. Yeah. Was trying to buy some dope, and I knew the nigga that knew the nigga, so Breed got some dope for me, and DOC and Breed was cool, and Tupac, and that's how we all became like a circle of friends.
Crazy.
Believe it.
This is crazy.
That's crazy.
Real
hip-hop. I ain't gonna lie. I got so a hip-hop mode fan just now. I was just saying, I'm a guy, I was supposed to ask a question at this point. Like, I was just sitting there, like, I'm just thinking, like, word. So, all right, boom. Now Pac comes here.
Mm-hmm.
He's already there. Y'all already doing what he doing. These records come out.
These records.
Right.
Let me tell you this, so you'll know. All eyes on me.
Right.
When he get out, I'm working on the Dogfather. Mm. So when he get out, my cousin Daz is like my number one supplier.
Big up Daz.
Because Dre basically like not really giving up music because I think he on his way out, but we don't really know what's going on.
This is my nigga's name. He's doing cocaine in the bathroom. Okay.
don't mind that.
Hey, thanks for doing it in the bathroom. So we working on my record. So when he get out, naturally I tell Daz and the whole crew, Pac getting out, y'all throw cuz all of the music. Get him right first.
Right.
So he end up getting all this hot music because we was in the process of doing hot shit, and then Pac brought a spirit to the studio that was different than anybody we ever worked with. He had a work spirit that was like, this nigga could be in three different rooms at one time and making music, and he would never listen to it. Like, we was always, we learned this from Dr. Dre. We would make a song, we'd listen to that motherfucker for a whole month. I mean, just back to back, 30 days, just listening to the same goddamn song, partying, inviting bitches over off the same record.
And the song might not even come out.
Yeah, and then it never come out. The nigga Tupac was like, nigga, when we make a song, when we finish it, we ain't listening to that shit, pull another beat up, we doing another motherfucking song, you can mix that motherfucking, when you finish, we'll listen to it.
He was a factory.
He was never about, like, even when we made one song, boom, the motherfucker, the last verse, he'd be like, all right, play it back. We play it down from top to bottom. As soon as that motherfucker cut off, all right, give it to the engineer. Pull the next beat up. Never did we listen to a song twice with that nigga. That's something that I learned from him that I take with me today because I wasn't like that. I learned from Dr. Dre. I learned from my teacher. They taught me how
different
to...
different styles.
Exactly.
Perfectionist and another type
of
perfectionist.
But Pac was on some like, nigga, fuck that. We going. How you think a nigga made 3 albums in motherfucking shit 6 months?
That's Gemini shit, Joe, by the way. That's Gemini shit. I'm a Gemini, so I understand where he comes
from. What sign are you, Snoop?
I'm a Libra.
All right, what sign am I? I forgot.
Fuck, are we gonna know your sign? Virgo.
I'm a Virgo. I don't know if it means anything, but fuck it. Let's make some noise for the sign. Yo, Snoop.
Astrology.
Listen, Snoop. I can't thank you so much. We got a couple more. You know what? I want to in mid interview. I just want to thank you because you know what. This is the first time artists, like, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, is running media right now. Like, right now, we are running
and
media.
And DJs.
I'm sorry.
When I say I got to represent the motherfucking DJs,
That's right. You always got to have a Mexican around you.
Yeah, I'm Cuban, by the way, but...
Listen, but he's from L.A.
I'm from L.A, too.
Yeah. Salvadorian. Same shit, Mexican.
I'm originally from L.A. Southgate.
Same shit.
Yeah, so I live in Southgate.
You always got to keep... And you
Pete
know
Ellis,
what?
Pete Ellis dodging the motherfucking house.
You know what I'm saying? And it's the first time, you know, this is what I believe, because we know you got GGN.
Yeah.
So now, do you operate GGN when you're not there? Because we're going to be in L.A. August. Can I co-host GGN? Can we?
I'd love to have you do that. Yes.
We'll co-host because we're going to be in L.A. August 27th through the 28th. I got to stay till the
30th. No, 26th through the 29th.
26 to the 29th.
I can make that happen. That's no problem. I have my own facilities.
You send me who you want. You send us because we'll co-host together.
Not a problem.
Drink champs.
Yeah, you're trying to cut me out right now. I saw that right now.
No, I'm sorry. Because you know why? Let me just tell you something. When I say me, I mean
we. Me is we.
We got mad sense.
Familia.
Let's just make some hardcore nigga noise.
Yeah, nigga. Whatever, nigga.
Yo, Snoop. It's no much more that I can't respect you because. Not only you was one of the most coolest people that I was supposedly, like, quote unquote, have beef with, like, you know what I'm saying, in the beginning of my career, but not only that, but you continue to show your growth, your prosperity, everything you do is to uplift. And again, this walk that you and Game just did was so, like, inspiring to me because it made me want to go back to my own hood and do such a thing. And so again, I want you to touch on that, and then I'm going right back to your music because it's a lot more shit I want to talk about.
Well, you know, one thing that I do is coach football, and I have my own football league.
I was just about to say
the Snoopy football league, 13 years.
Right. I had a question about that.
Yeah, we've been doing that for 13 years, man. Yeah,
this is our fake sports caster. Come in,
Paul. He wanted to big you up. Where you at, Paul?
No. Hey, Paul. What up?
Didn't you say Kevin Garnett was going to...
No, I said LeBron was coming to Miami. I fucked up.
Yeah, he said LeBron was going to Miami.
I said Dwayne was coming in front of a big...
If he had said that 8 years ago, nigga be like, that nigga's a genius.
I did say that. So shout out to Vic. Anyway, I wanted to say that was dope the way you was on Esquire TV and you did the Friday Night Tykes.
Because he coaches his sons.
And you did the Friday Night Tykes with the Houston and California
League.
Yes, sir. And you commentated the game for the shorties.
Come on, man. That's what I do.
I told him that earlier. So
I'm he really liked that, man.
Thank you, dog. Well, that's what I do. Like,
yeah, both
a lot of times it don't
Chinese,
get a, it don't get a lot of
the, fuck
it don't get, the shit like that don't get a lot of attention because. Right. I don't ever really want cameras around it because I do it for the love. I don't really do it for attention and try to make, like, what I'm doing. I want you to come see all this great work I'm doing in the community because the community work is supposed to be done regardless if it's the camera there or not. And what I've been doing with these kids, I've been building them and showing them how to, you know, live and go to high school, graduate, go to the NFL, go to college and do their thing or whatnot and give them hope. And we go to areas where the crime rate was really at a high level and now it's at a low level and we getting gang members to, you know, drop the guns and become football coaches and lead these young men. So this is something that I'm doing that I don't really get a lot of attention for, but it means the world to me to be able to do it 13 years and running. I got a kid that played in the Super Bowl last year.
Years ago, you know, like I said, I'm originally from LA and I still got family out there that live in Downey right now, actually. And my cousin Melissa, she's a teacher at Long Beach High.
Oh, yeah.
And she, this is years ago, she told me you came by, I guess an old coach of yours was still there.
Yeah, Mr.
And she was just telling me how much you gave back to the children there. You came, you would come often, she said.
Yeah, that's my
You were like a regular appearance there.
That's what I do. I look out. You know, I try to come through as much as possible because I like to let the kids see. an example of what they can be. A lot of times when I was a kid, if somebody was considered a star, we never seen them. Like the era that we live in now, you see stars all the time. You know, when I was a kid, a star was way in the sky. You could never just pull up somewhere and see a celebrity. You know what I'm saying? You had to be like somewhere special. And if you seen him, you wasn't going to get no conversation with him.
Right.
You weren't going to get no picture with him or no autograph. You just seen a flash of him. So nowadays, these kids don't understand that they get a chance to get up close and personal with these celebrities like myself. And it's our job to give them the information on how to be what we are or be better than what we are.
Now, me, been waiting to ask this question the whole night. At one point, Death Row Records was the invincible, the unstoppable, the unfuckable. And at that time, the artist at the height of that whole forefront was Snoop. How the fuck did that fail? Because we see other people, we see the Cash Moneys, we see
The Murder Inks.
But Death Row just felt different because I don't want to say of the gang affiliation, but I'm going to say because of the gang affiliation. Like, how did that feel? Like, when Death Row was Death Row, how did that feel? Like, just being in that.
I mean, it was a... It was a great feeling because we didn't have to be nobody but who we was.
Mm.
We didn't have to fake, you know what I'm saying? We didn't have to try to appease nobody by doing what y'all do or what they do. Mm. We did what we did. We dressed the way we wanted to dress. We wore our hair the way we wanted to wear our hair. We rapped about the shit we wanted to rap about. We chose the music that we wanted to rap over. It was like it was a whole style that was unique to who we were and who we are. Oh. And that was the fulfillment of it all, that people loved and appreciated me for being me, that they didn't want me to be nobody but me.
Mm. That was real. Let's make some noise. For oh, my God. Hold on. I've been wanting to take a pee for a minute. I'll take a pee for 1 second.
You've been drinking. See, when you smoke, you don't need no pee break.
I'm gonna ask you.
Keep the podcast going.
Yeah, let that nigga go pee because he got a little baby bladder. Let BB go by real quick. Baby bladder.
I'm gonna go next after he comes back.
We'll wait for you, baby bladder.
Well, when he said the whole thing about N.W.A. and then he went all the way to your album. Obviously, there was a lot of dope West Coast albums in between that.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite, I think, is an all-time classic hip-hop album is Death Certificate, Ice Cube.
Dope as fuck.
One of the best hip-hop albums ever.
DJ Pooh put that together with Sir Jinx.
What I thought was ill is when you went to Priority, I don't know what that situation was, and you did all the reissues, EPMD.
My first Priority.
That shit was crazy. How did that come about?
Well, I had talked to Brian Turner about re-releasing music on Priority Records and giving some new artists an opportunity to shine because Priority Records was a great piece of hip-hop that was kind of like unsung, and I wanted to give it the notarization that it deserved and put some of those songs together on the compilation CD as well as see if I could find some new talent. And Brian Turner was willing to give me that action to do that. And it brought a lot of awareness to a lot of music that people had never heard or people hadn't heard in a long time. And it just was a great look. It was a look of love. You know, I wanted to do something that I've always wanted to do. I wanted to run Priority Records and put it back on the map.
And you shed a light on a lot of records that maybe a lot of younger cats wouldn't have even checked out. Like, you shed a light on them. Because it said, I remember all the reissues said Snoop Presents or whatever. And that shit was ill.
Thank you, dog.
Yeah.
Let's make some noise for whatever the fuck y'all was talking about. Fucking no. Yo, but Snoop, man, like...
fucking asshole.
Nah, let me tell you something, man. Snoop is a real nigga. You know what the crazy thing is? And I gotta ask Snoop, you know, what I ask all of our guests, because, like I said, I think that we should have a hip-hop flag. In every establishment that you ever go to, I think that there should be something that shows this is a beautiful hotel. We're not gonna shout out the hotel unless y'all say it's okay.
No, they ain't paid me.
This is a beautiful hotel. We came down all the way to West Palm to make sure we see Snoop because Snoop is that important. Everybody else, you make them come see us. But so, and what I'm saying is, in certain establishments, they have flags. shouldn't you think there should be a hip hop flag, like wherever we go, like, you know, just to make sure that you're welcome there. It can be a 9-star, it can be a 1-star, just to let
We need to come up with that flag in the hip hop community. Something that we can all agree.
That's what I'm talking about. Let's make some noise for Snoop. Yeah.
Right. Something that we can all agree on that represents hip hop, and when we know that flag is up, we know we welcome.
Mm-hmm. Hip hop will unify the world before anybody else.
Hip-hop, that's what I'm saying. Before race, before race, before political parties, I think that people should run under hip hop. And I think that, listen, 50 was just on here last week, and 50 endorsed Kanye West. Is that correct?
I heard that. I thought that was nice.
Can you just?
I mean, Kanye West can't be no crazier than that motherfucker Donald Trump.
Exactly. Can we go there?
Can we co-sign, say on Drink Champs, that Snoop Dogg is also endorsing Kanye West?
Yes, I'm endorsing.
I am Snoop Dogg.
But what does Snoop Dogg think about Donald Trump?
Cause you smoked with Donald Trump at some point.
Yeah,
Let's keep it real.
I fucked with him once upon a time.
You gave him ecstasy?
I ain't do all that.
LSD?
I did it.
You made his hair orange?
I did a little roast. He had a roast on Comedy Central.
Oh, okay.
That's right. I remember that.
So I went hard on him, right? So, you know, I kind of was fucking with him till I heard some of his views and his perspectives, and that made me back up off him, because a lot of the views and perspectives that he got, I have friends that represent those, you know, facets in life, you know, whether they're Muslims, Mexican, whatever they are, and it's like
that's, I love how LA people call them Muslims. That's so hard. Let's continue.
That's fucked up how they like singling people out. And, you know, we don't do that. We multicultural. We fucks with everybody. You know what I'm saying? So if you start singling out motherfuckers, you might as well single yourself out, because you don't know who connected. You don't know who the plug is.
That's a fact. Now, let me just point something out. This is how I know I'm not rich at all. You see my roaches? Those are my roaches right there. Nasty.
Them motherfuckers as little as a motherfucker.
Look at Snoop's roaches. God damn it. I can roll 4 more blocks out of Snoop roaches. God damn it. This is how I know I'm not rich. Let's make some noise for me not being rich. God damn it. That nigga wrote, listen, you can roll 2 blunts out of his roaches.
Yeah, so my roaches is long, okay.
So now, Snoop, this is the craziest shit, man. I've been in the game since 1997, my first album.
Yeah, and you that motherfucker was smoking hot.
The Roy Report.
Man, please believe it.
But what I'm saying is, sometimes I lose it. I don't want to do this no more. What makes you, like, you just dropped a new album. We didn't speak about that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm competitive. I'm competitive. A lot of times when my competitive energy
but
always.
But are you competitive against other people or against yourself? Because I think you're competing against yourself at this point.
That's all I'm competing against myself.
Continue.
You know, it's like a player that, you know, continues to go to the NBA All-Star game and he continues to make it to the championship. He don't have time to watch his highlights because he got another game to play, another season to get ready for. Right. And that's how I look at my career, is that I'm always preparing myself for the next game. You know, like, I knew I was going on tour with Me and Wiz, so I said, let me put together an album so that way when I'm on the road, I'll have a reason to be on the road. Because I could have went on the road with no album.
And you just got Kobe Bryant high. Let's talk about that. Kobe, my nigga, he texted me. He said,
God. I didn't get him high, man. That's fucked up how they photoshopped the picture. He comes see the dog and they do him wrong like that. Nah, he came
over. You know, Kobe, my nigga.
Man, I love him to death. He came over to spend some time with me on some, you know, afterthought as far as after his career.
They can't do shit to that nigga. You got him high. Fuck it, Snoop.
Nah, for real.
Let's just make some noise so you get the Kobe high. Fuck it. We spreading the rumors, Snoop. We were talking over here.
Horrible.
We came to the room.
You're gonna make Kobe lose endorsements.
Nah, because I gave him a car, right? A 66 Pontiac Parasini, a Laker mobile that I had handcrafted for him.
I need to be more friends with you because I want you to give me a car at some point. I don't know what. It's okay. You can give me a New York, New York, a LA, LA car at some point. Like 20 years from now. It's okay, but I need to be closer with you. But go ahead. So you gave Kobe a car.
I gave him a car because
the car already smelled like bud?
Nah, it was a brand new. It was a 1966 Pontiac Parasini, white interior, yellow exterior, purple top. You understand me? With purple
rich
and
nigga
days.
Talk.
Yeah. Yeah. So I gave him this vehicle for 20 years of excellence for him representing the Lakers and giving us something to stand on.
And then he came out, he had red eyes.
No, they photoshopped the nigga eyes, man. You know how they gonna make this shit.
I think it was me who photoshopped.
They gonna make this shit worse than what it is, man.
I'm fucking with you, Snoop. But the thing, let's make some noise, Snoop. Fuck it, listen, Snoop. You guilty if you ain't, even if you innocent.
Association by affiliation.
Yeah, association by affiliation. Yo, Snoop, man, there's no way I can thank you, man. You know what I mean? Drink Champs, it's the first time, you know, rappers have took over media. We are so excited
and
to
DJs,
come to LA.
Man, come on, you gotta say DJ.
I'm sorry,
man.
Excuse me.
I got a
rapper and
all
the
motherfucking DJs.
Yeah, we the rapper
we the
and
backbone.
The DJ.
We the backbone.
Yeah, that's right. And listen, we the rapper and the DJ. And we coming to LA on August 27th. K-Day, what's up with y'all?
So,
we're
Ron,
be
we're
up
gonna
there.
Set it up so that way they can do the GGN.
Yeah, we want to host.
Yeah,
we definitely want to host. Listen, and you know what's the crazy shit is, Snoop? This is what we'll do. Whatever guests you send us, you don't gotta prep us. We just sent us to there.
Yeah, we're never prepped. Yeah.
I don't never. Out of all the shows I did on the GG, and I ain't never prepped.
I don't have two nights of getting ready for the niggas.
If the niggas is a nigga here, bring him in.
This is the smooth version of Drink Champs.
It's got to be spontaneous. Yeah. One thing about us as lyricists, as MCs, as you know, what we do, we flow with the motion, and sometimes it's better when it's spontaneous. Because if it's going to be written and scripted, this shit going to be fake. I'd rather go off script, because that way you can talk about shit that on the script. Because the script sometimes going to allow you to talk about specific things, but if you go off script and you go, you know, spontaneous, you can get the in-depth interview that you really look for to make this shit real fly and different,
and
like the rest of the shit.
If everybody's authentic, it don't matter. Like, we all authentic about this shit.
Not for real.
That's a fact. God damn it. Let me make some noise. God damn it. God damn it. God damn it. I'm not gonna lie. Snoop, you one of the most. You're like, at the end of the day, brother, you transcended culture.
100%.
And what I mean by that is, there ain't a New York nigga alive that was alive when you dropped. What was that?
That was your cousin.
When you dropped Doggy Style. Yes, Puerto Rican shit. When you Puerto Rican, forgive Puerto Ricans. So when you drop Doggy Style, there's not a New York nigga alive that can't say that they identified with you. Mm. Like, while some niggas is cripping right now in New York, it's because, I'm just keeping it 100. Mm. I have to. It's because of you. And then, and you still out here kicking ass. And I asked you, what makes you keep going? And you said, because you're still competitive.
Yeah, very. Like, I hate to lose, and if I'm
not. But you also keep venturing.
Yeah.
Like, you did an album with Pharrell.
Yeah.
You did an album with Master P.
Yeah. I did three albums with Master P.
Three albums.
Yeah,
with
when I left Death Row Records, I signed with No Limit Records, which was the hottest rap label in the industry.
This is true.
When I signed with No Limit Records, they was the hottest in the rap industry. They was the only niggas getting money in the industry.
Right.
Let me finish. I got to say this because this is very important.
Please, please.
Puffy and them was rocking. But they wasn't getting no money like Master P was. Like, and I had been around Nate Camp. I had been around Def Jam. I was on Death Row. I had seen all the niggas that supposedly had the money. Master P had the motherfucking money.
True independence.
He had the money.
You said that was three albums.
I did three albums with him. I did The Game Is To Be Sold, Not To Be Told. Then I did a movie called The Game of Life right after that. Then I did
Hot Boys.
No Limit, Top Dog. Then I did Hot Boys after that. Then I did motherfucking The Last Meal. Then I did The Chronic 2001. That's when I got with Pharrell. And then I put the Eastsiders out. Put out The Doggies Angels. You understand me? He showed me how to put business, because I hadn't had a record label. I was always talking that Doggy Style shit, but I didn't have no record label. Master P showed me how to put a label together, how to go get money, how to eat, how to make money off my tours, how to make money off of movies, how to create a different lane for me to be seen differently. He brought money to the industry, because I'm telling you the truth, niggas wasn't having no money.
And it seemed like he didn't try to hold you in the camp. He was like, yo,
niggas,
go do your thing.
He taught niggas how to get it, man, because see, rappers wasn't getting money, man. This is what I'm trying to tell y'all. Niggas was getting gold chains, and you get a big-ass production deal, or they spent all this money on your album and marketing, but niggas wasn't getting no way-out-ass money. Niggas on No Limit had money.
Everybody.
Everybody on No Limit had a house, a car, two guns, and a bank account.
Let's make some noise for that. And then after that, you said three albums. Three projects.
I went from Doggy Style, Murder Was the Case, Dog Pound, Dog Father, Above the Rim, Out of There, No Limit, Game Is to Be Sold, Not to Be Told, No Limit, Top Dog, and Last Meal. I did three albums in 3 years.
When you say Out of It, though, Master P bought out the contract.
Master
right? You
P,
was done.
Master P went to go visit Suge Knight in the penitentiary and struck a deal because everybody else was scared of that nigga.
Right. Right.
Everybody, that's when Suge Knight was the monster, the boogeyman.
Right, right, right.
That's when he was the boogeyman.
So P went?
P went to go see him,
struck a deal,
paid him, paid me, got my publishing back, gave me three albums. I did my three albums, then allowed me to do the East Sider deal while I was in the process of doing my last album. Didn't get no money.
East Sider was the TVT deal?
Yes. Didn't take no money from it. Didn't take no imprint from it. East Siders went and sold 1 million records, and my record label was off and popping. That's love.
That's
listen, I knew this information, but to hear him
break it down
and the way he's saying it, I'm just, I'm sitting over here, I'm back in fan mode. I'm sorry. Do you want me to get back in interview mode?
Because
I'm still in fan mode. I'm still in fan mode, my nigga. And
we always fans. We fans of the music, guys.
So now, you live in New Orleans. Would you say that about 3 years? I'm about to say 3 years. So when did you start missing Cali? And then
that's crazy you said that.
Okay.
Because when I first go to Baton Rouge, Master P tell me, nigga, you can't go back to L.A. So he basically put a wall around me like, nigga, don't go back to L.A. Because that's when them niggas was really still trying to get at me.
Okay.
And you know what I'm saying? I was kind of leaking in so many words because I didn't really have my street shit right in the hood.
Right, right.
So I went back to New Orleans and I stayed out there. But by the time the second album came, I started sliding back to L.A. like for 2 days here, 2 days there. And the people was like, nigga, stop going back. I'm like, I can't help it. Then that's when I started getting DJ Quick and all the other niggas that was a part of the second album. And it started to sound back like Snoop Dogg. Because the first record was South Like a Motherfucker.
Right.
Then the second one was getting more like Snoop Dogg. Then that's when I got Dre to give me Bitch Please. Pharrell gave me From the Church to the Palace. Then I did the third one, which was motherfucking The Last Meal. That's when shit was like all the way right. We had Lay Low. We had all kind of records that was sounding like Snoop Dogg, which prepped me for the Chronic 2001 album. And then he knew I had to be back in L.A. because my flavor was L.A. It was good that I could, you know, jump out of my habitat and get in this environment and adapt to any environment and be a chameleon. Right. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I got to go back to where I'm comfortable at, the zone that I'm, and that's where you start to hear those records start becoming more, you know what I'm saying, like the way they were supposed to sound.
Wow.
At what point in all that is the C Murder record that you did?
See, Murder Record was on the second album, No Limit, Top Dog.
Fuck the mother niggas, because I ride with my niggas. That's the shit you're talking about? Fuck the mother niggas.
He made that record for 20 years. Because the Death Row niggas was on a nigga.
But originally, you weren't on that record originally, because I heard the original one.
Originally, that's my record.
There's a version without you, though, right?
No, that originally was my record. Two different versions. So that's why I'm telling you, that record was made after some shit happened in L.A., and the Death Row niggas tried to get me.
But there is two versions, though.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay.
But the version that you heard was the after-the-fact version.
Right.
Because KLC did the original beat.
Okay, okay.
The nigga that did Move, Bitch, Ludacris track.
Move, Bitch.
Come on, man. You know, I'm going to give it to you.
Yeah, that's what we need. That's what we want.
Oh, my God. That's what I'm saying. Yo, Ron. Can I thank you? I'm going to thank you again, goddamn it. Come on, man. Goddamn. When I said you, I made Threat Say, right?
No.
Huh? Salvadoreño.
Oh shit.
Never let me know.
These are my niggas.
Yeah. Yeah, y'all got that shit on lock. Do y'all shit.
Yo, little Snoop. God damn it. I can't believe we did it. So Snoop, we got the Mary Jane website.
I'm going to the bathroom.
Okay. We got the Mary Jane website.
Yeah, we do.
We got the
We got GGN popping on Revolt TV, and I got my own, you know what I'm saying, situation.
Listen, Revolt trying to lock me down. Should I go with Revolt?
You know what you do? You get paid to play. And then you do it and you keep it moving. They don't get
everything.
You
gotta ask the question, should I go?
They don't get everything. They just get some of the things.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Thank you, thank you.
Because you're not gonna puff everything, so you're gonna get some of the things. You know what I'm saying?
My nigga, he saying what I'm saying.
Yeah, because Puffy, my nigga, too. I don't wanna be like, nigga, why you tell Nori that shit on camera? Because I told him
the truth. Nah, that's my nigga, too. That's my nigga, too. So you got GGN.
Mm hmm.
And we're gonna try to host that. Definitely drink.
You
champs.
Is gonna do it. And we, you know, I started that shit in the backyard somewhere, man. Where it was just,
let's talk about that. How did you start GGN? Yeah,
I was watching the news one night, and it came on. It was a murder. It was something. I was like, why every time the news come on, it's some bad news. I never seen the news come on with,
well, nigga got his dick sucked
or something beautiful
in the alleyway.
So I was like, you know what? So I said, you know what? I'm finna start.
Let's report that.
I'm finna start a news network where it's all good news. It's all fun. It's all comedy. It's all me.
Right.
And it went from that to where it is now.
That's a fact.
A real
That's friend. Important. A nigga getting his dick sucked in the alleyway. God damn it. It used to be me. I've been married for a long time. For the space of me before I was married. God damn it. Yo, my nigga Snoop. Yo, come on. EFN, get your fucking ass out here. You know Best Buy Liquors. They provided the liquor. We used to have girls here pouring the drinks.
What happened?
I don't know.
I'm married too, but I don't mind having girls like eye candy. I'm just shopping. I'm not buying anything. You know, sometimes it's good to look.
So Snoop, you have never got tired of this lifestyle?
Of the lifestyle I live? Nah.
I mean, I not the lifestyle I live. That's a fucked up question. But I got tired of recording and doing the same process. That style I have got.
No, but you see, I became my own boss. So being your own boss, you make your own rules. You play your own plays. And I don't do what they do. I do what I do. So I drop a record when I want, do a movie when I want, shoot TV when I want, do a shoe deal, coach football. You understand me? I do what I like when I want to. Like, it's like, it's not a script that's everybody else's script, you know, like, exactly. If I was in the world of sports, I would be my own sport. I wouldn't even be. I'd be a little bit of basketball, a little bit of soccer, a little bit of golf, a little bit of football. Like, nigga, what sport are you, nigga? I'm that sport, nigga, everything.
Right. God damn it. Let's make some noise, stupid. God damn it. Oh!
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We're back to Drink Champs Radio with rapper N-O-R-E and DJ EFN.
Hey, listen, this is real shit right now. Okay, gin and juice. You had niggas in the East Coast.
You niggas was getting drunk on that shit, huh?
Yeah. How did this concoction this collaboration
gin and juice collaboration happened when a nigga was a young nigga, 17,
okay,
16, really didn't have too much money. We used to buy Seagram's Bumpy Gin, Bumpy Face Bottle, and we used to get it was a drink called Super Socko.
Whoa,
and we used to make super.
Let's break down what Super Socko is.
Nigga, Super Socko was a soccer drink, nigga.
Oh,
and it was like a lemony drink flavor. You can look it up on Google, nigga. Look
this
it
is
up.
My cousin, he plays soccer.
Yeah,
right?
Nigga, look that up, nigga. Look it up.
Soccer.
Look it up.
It's Spanish.
Super Socko.
Look it up in Spanish, nigga.
Super Socko was a mix that we used to mix it with.
Uh huh.
So it gave it a different kind of lemony flavor, and then we went to orange juice, and then once we mixed it with orange juice, we started doing gin and juice, and then from gin and juice, it became a record because it was like we heard the old song. Well, Half Dead used to always sing old songs, and he would put new words to it, so the song was Walking down the street, watching ladies go by, watching you. So he took that and put rolling down the street, smoking indo, sipping on gin and juice. And so he did that, but then we got David Ruffin Jr. to actually sing it on the album.
Let's make some noise. Snoop's flossing on us. Just got that. That shit is real. What do you go about the song? That's the fact checker.
Yeah, but they got it in the bottle too. See what it look like in the bottle. That's it. You found the brand.
That's Hazardous Sounds. He's called our fact checker.
That nigga found facts.
Yeah,
nigga.
Yeah, he found facts.
Find it in the bottle. In the bottle, nigga.
Yeah, so Snoop, you know we know we're like the Black Howard Sterns.
I fuck with Howard Stern. Excuse me,
the Black Latino Howard Sterns. Cause I'm Latino too. God damn it.
Of course, man.
But we all
together, man.
So it's Haz. You still looking for that?
No, I got it.
You got it? Let me see.
Look like a Gatorade bottle? That shit.
No, like the glass bottle. It's like from the 80s. Look in the 80s.
Look this nigga Snoop
in the 80s. Go back to the 80s.
You are prehistoric, Snoop. God damn it. Let's make some noise for Snoop being prehistoric.
No, you know what I respect, though? I told Dame Dash, that motherfucking Paid in Full was one of the most gangster movies I ever seen in my life. For one reason, because I was a drug dealer around that time. Yeah. I never was like Money Making Mitch and them, but I always wanted to be like them niggas. I was that little nigga that was getting it on the block.
Me too.
And to see a movie like that was so motherfucking inspiring and so death-defying to see their relationship and see how cutthroat that shit was. And it really was like that in real life.
Right.
It was a great learning experience, too, to watch that movie for the educational reasons as well.
And to relate to it.
And you know what? You know, your cousin, Daz,
mm-hmm.
which I love, he sat here and he said he wanted to do Colors Part 2 in New York. I really need to direct that movie. I just wanted to throw that out there. Just the next time you see him,
I'm fucked with that. That's
bring
big.
Sean Penn.
Listen,
back.
I want to direct that because you know what? That was the most genius shit. Like I looked at Daz, and you know, me and Daz, we just get high together.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said that to me, I was like, this nigga way smarter than me. Like I was like, nigga said I'm gonna do Colors Part 2, and I was like, word. He said, but in New York, and I was like,
that
Jesus,
ill.
Nigga, I'm gonna buy that movie. Like let's whatever I gotta do, let's do it.
So negotiate.
Because mind you, Daz has been the only guest that's been on here twice.
But Snoop. So let me ask you. So with that being said, like with gangs being. Its origin being from where you come from.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I don't know if you know, but how big that shit is in New York, Miami, and everywhere. Did you ever see that? Or
A gang is like hip-hop, right?
Mm.
It's fun. It's exciting. It looks like it's easy to do. You can do it with your friends.
Right.
And it becomes something of representation of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a replication of who you are. So it's supposed to travel. It's mm-hmm. supposed to go from city to city. Just imagine if hip hop would have stayed in the Bronx.
Right.
You would have never got it. I would have never got it. It wouldn't have went nowhere.
We'd be broke niggas right now.
Exactly. So gangbanging is supposed to spread. It's supposed to travel because it's some great shit in gangbanging.
I think if somebody wanted the easy travel guide to how it all spread, listen to Summer Vacation from Ice Cube.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the perfect examples.
Like, that's like the booklet of the history of
a nigga setting up shop in one of those cities.
He killed it with that.
You go to a city where, you know, niggas is not as fast as L.A., but they will, you know, they influenced by, you know, they love what they see. Because L.A., remember, there's movies that's been made on us, like from Colors to Boys in the Hood. So we have the perfect blueprint to what it is to be a gangster. So when you have a gangster from L.A. come to your city and impress you and show you what it is and give you the rules and the regulations, it's easy to influence others and to make them pick that culture up and make it theirs. Just like hip-hop. Hip-hop was born and bred in the Bronx, but it made its way. It's made its way all over the world.
Everywhere.
And when it got to Long Beach, I grabbed a hold of it, and I wanted to do that more than gangbanging.
Wow.
So eventually, it's going to do the same thing. You know, hip-hop will move in again and overwhelm gangbanging because the people that ain't from L.A., where it originated from, they're a couple of years behind with the gangbanging. So they don't understand that we at the point that we know how to converse, we know how to communicate. Bloods and Crips hang out and kick it. So once they get that part, then they'll understand that it's really a real brotherhood. And I'm seeing that with all these marches, and you see in Bloods and Crips all over the world tying their rags together because they following what they see us do. And we lead by example. So if we put the right foundation out, they're going to walk the great path.
But do you think that, like, hip-hop, if us come to... This is what I've been preaching on this podcast. I think this is, like, our 23rd episode.
22nd.
Nah, this will be our 24th. This will be our
23rd. 23rd or 24th.
This will be our 23rd.
But what I've been preaching is hip-hop should register as a race. What I mean by that is, you know, we might not win as a black race, but there's people like Martin Scorsese, that people who feel like they are part of hip hop, but them not be a part of our race.
Mm-hmm.
You think that is that something that we should, like, as hip hop?
Well, hip hop don't have a race to it because it's a feeling.
Exactly.
You know, it don't have no color to it either, because
right.
It's all about the feeling. It's been some motherfuckers that I have relationships with in hip hop that got more soul than the average nigga you could expect, and they skin ain't nowhere near dark as mine.
Right.
So I just feel like you right about that, as far as it should be some sort of membership or some sort of...
Yeah, because this is what I'm saying. I'm sorry to cut you off, because people get... They want to kill me when I cut my guests off. But what I'm saying is, it's sometimes... It's like a nigga like... let's just say Nate Dogg.
Mm-hmm.
God bless his soul.
Yes, sir.
Say if Nate Dogg was still alive, and then something happened to Nate Dogg, it should be a union that's already established, already to take care of him.
Yeah. Like because a SAG. Of the work, like, I think hip-hop should have its own SAG.
That's what we've been speaking about, dog. What you think about that?
I love that idea, and I love the fact that we even can speak on that because we got the platform.
And we're not speaking, like, if we were broke niggas... Nah. This conversation would be fucked up.
Yeah, because it would sound like we...
Because bigger. It sound like we hating.
Yeah, we mad.
But niggas ain't broke here. We okay. No. Let's make some noise for us being okay.
Well, actually, what we are, we're the voice for those who can't speak.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Trying to provide something for those who don't have or may not have the opportunity to continue to be successful, so it should be some shit paved the way for them, right, for their hard work and dedication. We just like the NFL, the NBA,
God damn it. All
of that.
We should have a union.
We don't have a commissioner or anybody to answer to, and that's one thing that I don't think we need, because that's the only thing that I see fucked up about the NBA and the NFL, that they got some motherfucker to answer to.
God
that
damn.
Ain't inhuman, you know what I'm saying? So it should be, you know, on a level playing field of where we all agree to disagree, and we you know, we commission ourselves and we boss ourselves. I don't like answering to nobody. I got a problem with that, especially if you don't know more than me. If you ain't positioned better than me, I really got a problem with answering to you.
But if hip-hop unionized, we would be a voting block.
I get that part, but it's going to have to be somebody...
Yep,
that's in control, and Russell Simmons is a great guy, but it ain't him.
Right, but Prodigy had he didn't like the idea of that. What was his? Do you remember his argument for that?
Oh, Prodigy.
No, I'm sorry, Havoc. I keep saying Prodigy. Havoc. Havoc didn't like the idea of that.
Of
us unionizing or
yeah, no, that's because he's retarded. But listen, the thing about it is this. Listen,
you should have an argument though. He had an argument.
The thing about it is this. This is what we all need to do. Listen, this is what we all need to do. We all need to have each other's back, right?
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, Snoop, listen, my grandmother knows who Snoop is.
Wow.
I have two grandmothers who know who Snoop is, and they both dead, but they still know who Snoop is.
Wow.
That's a fact. Let's make some noise for that.
I don't want to even laugh at you.
Shout out to grandma. All grandmas get that.
They both
love.
Knew who Snoop was. That's a fact.
That's heavy.
Right? So heavy. What I'm saying is, all right, but maybe both of my grandmothers know who Coolio is. Maybe both of my grandmothers know who MC Hammer is.
Maybe.
Guess what? I'm not throwing anything at those brothers, but I know Snoop is okay.
Hello.
My other grandmothers don't know if Hammer Coolio is okay. Shouldn't there be something that says when they're not okay?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
We come in and we say, Slime, you sold 30 million records, you put your fucking money in the G-string, you fucked up. But we got you.
Yeah.
And not only them, but people like, you know, who's them real rhyme niggas, you know, them, you know, Exhibits from LA.
Yeah.
And the motherfucking, the True Lifes from New York. And shit,
if shit ain't never work out, it should be a program to take care of.
Yeah, you right.
Am I bugging, Snoop?
No, you can tell right, me I'm bugging. No, you got the right hip hop mind.
Right.
It's just a matter of who can actually execute that great plan.
Or what
plan.
Organization can help us.
Yeah, that plan is excellent. That's an awesome plan. Right. But who can actually make that plan come to life and really
well,
see to it?
Well, they got
to
be niggas like you.
And they got to see to it that it continues.
Did I throw it on you?
It got to go.
Did I throw it on you too much? It was too much.
That's a lot, man. My shoulders, I don't know if I can carry all that shit.
That no, you, but that
I'm
going
to need an African to carry that motherfucker on their head to be balancing that shit.
But listen.
I'll bring it to the meeting.
But that's what I'm saying. In the hip-hop concert, as long as somebody, as long as we try to bear something together, because at the end of the day, we got to keep working. If you're not working, then you shouldn't be involved. Like, we don't want to take care of the people who's lazy.
Yeah.
We want to take care of the people who dedicated their life to 15, 10 years, and they still got to struggle to pay their rent. Dumb dudes should be taking
but
care.
But that's why I think SAG
the
is
dudes
a
who take the
model.
Pictures. The dudes SAG, who engineer.
Anybody that's an actor, you could be a B-roll, you could be a...
But hip-hop, we need a SAG.
But that's why I think SAG is a perfect model for what could happen in hip-hop.
Right.
Somebody just got to put that thing down, man, you know.
Mm.
It's a great idea, but you know, one thing about one thing about niggas, man, we don't believe in what we hear. We believe what we see.
Right. So what's the next thing for Snoop Dogg right now? Right now, we know you had every liquor in the universe. You had every slipper in the universe.
Yeah.
I bought like $19,000 worth of slippers. And,
he started the slipper game. Let's just be quite honest here.
So what's next for Snoop Dogg right now? And let me get your roach over there. Let me get that.
He needs a roach. Hook him up.
Which one of these?
I was gonna get that. I'll take this one. That's okay. go ahead.
Want some Bacardi?
Yo, this nigga roach is my whole blunt. Just for the record. Go ahead.
What's next for Snoop Dogg? Oh yeah, I got an artist name, October London.
You forgot this nigga name. Let's make some noise for getting his name. Goddamn.
Where's he from?
Nah, this nigga from Indiana. This nigga's a rebirth of Marvin.
No,
Gaye.
I heard you on Moguls. You spoke about him already. You ain't forget his name.
This nigga's special, man. This nigga's okay. Special. So he got a song called Black Man in America that we're about to drop in about 2 days.
Okay.
It's a heavy record. He got a mini movie I just shot on him. Just trying to do my thing. Me and Jazzy Faye, we doing it together. It's called Cadillac Music. Jazzy Faye brought him to me. It's a collaboration with me and Jazzy.
God damn it, man. Snoop is doing so much. Listen, man. We're going to do a movie together. And
yeah, we need to. I told you that.
Yeah.
I told you you're a hell of an actor. You the shit.
Yeah.
I love your acting, nigga.
No, this is my nigga.
Every time I see you on screen, I'm like, this is a bad motherfucker. He don't even know he a bad motherfucker.
And listen.
And he acts mad normal.
He don't know he a bad motherfucker.
Yeah. Do you know in New York that Ciroc is like the ultimate Crip drink?
For real?
Do you know that? Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Look, I guess it makes automatic sense. And it's blue dot. I don't know if you know that.
I know the Crips.
I think you should just take a sip before this is for the Crips in New York. just because
look at this Puffy.
I'm gonna have to call Puffy and see if he got a few dollars.
I thought you knew that. You didn't know that, Snoop?
No, I didn't know that.
Yo, Corrupt came in here and he wilded out earlier, right? Let's make some noise. Corrupt came in here.
Corrupt still be drinking. I don't drink.
Corrupt, he did.
But you did drink a couple of drinks with us.
For you,
50 took five
shots.
He did drink.
He drank 50
took five shots or am I lying?
No, he took four shots.
Four shots. And
then more than he's ever taken.
Corrupt did four shots?
No. 50. No, 50
said. 50.
And oh, he don't drink at all.
50 got lit.
And we got 54 shots. I put up five.
See, one thing about you,
I smoke five blunts.
You won't make a nigga break the law, but you'll make a nigga bend the law.
Yeah. We gotta put that in the commercial.
You're a law bender.
Let me just say something, man. From the beginning of my career, I never knew you guys did the New York thing. I didn't know if y'all was dissing us or not, but I just felt like it was an opportunity. So I went out there, I did it, and from the first day I ever met you,
I regretted what I did, but I knew you understand what I did.
I respected your gangster, nigga.
Yeah, I knew you understood. Off the top, nigga. You understood what I did.
I always told you I respected your gangster. Yes, nigga. I always shouted out the niggas that was hard to me, nigga. You was always one of them niggas because you didn't give a fuck.
Right.
You did what I would have did, nigga. Right. I just wanted to get on. You took it the wrong way, nigga, like you were supposed to.
Right.
Nigga, there was no explanations, nigga. I took it the wrong way, nigga. I thought you were saying this, nigga.
Right.
We'll get to the explanation. Later, nigga.
Right.
And I get that. I say the same thing to Capone, cuz it's just gangster shit, cuz we respect that shit, cuz always have, always will.
And to this day, we still listen, cuz people try to call us old niggas. That's why we don't interview new niggas, right? Let's make some noise. Niggas want to call us old niggas, right? But that's okay. Y'all got your own market.
We old new.
Who gonna interview y'all? Elliot and them niggas? Elliot Wilson and them niggas? Them niggas are boring as fuck. Go ahead, let them niggas interview y'all.
But we have no trains on this episode.
We have no trains if we came to see Snoop. And you know what? Listen. We don't have no trains over here. God damn it. Make some noise.
No trains, huh?
Listen.
We did what we gotta do. Snoop, there's no way we could ever repay you. We sat here, going through all the questions. I feel like EFN got one more question. He's just looking at me like, don't you dare end it.
He tried to run from the smoke. I just blew about $47 worth of smoke in his face. He tried to duck and dive.
I'm smoking everything.
He gave you his thank you, but I want to say, like, to me, this is a milestone.
That's
honest
right.
to God. And I represent the
this
DJ
is an
here.
Opportunity.
You know, we're the people that are not seen behind the scenes in the culture.
Unseen, but well heard.
But we're here. And I rep all the DJs. Shout out to all the motherfucking DJs out here.
Right.
And your projects was always a pleasure for all of the DJs. The samples you picked, the artists you worked with, everything across the board. I told you the remixes, everything. There was the one joint, was it the Red Eye remix of, was it G-Thang?
Yeah. Damn, fucking, you got heat.
I got the record, and you had to play it on a 45 speed.
You got heat.
I got one more question.
You got heat.
I got one more question. This is it.
You didn't even let me finish. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, finish.
I'm just saying, on behalf of the DJ, thank you, Snoop.
On behalf of the DJ, thank y'all for playing my shit, for giving me a shot, for putting me in rotation, for fucking with me, for spreading it, for passing it on to the next DJ, for mixing it, putting it in the mix shows, playing me in the strip clubs, on the radio station.
All day.
All of the above, man. I love the DJs. You understand me? I respect the DJ. The MC ain't nothing without him.
So still Dre Day, which is one of my favorite records. Not of this. I'm gonna take another one of your roaches.
As you should.
Look at this nigga roach. This shit is a whole blunt for me, my nigga.
It's wholesome.
This nigga.
Wait, Dre Day was also the Luke this, right?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Still Dre Day.
Oh, he's talking about Dre Day.
Was
the one on the Chronic album.
Right.
Still Dre was on Chronic 2001.
Dre Day over here was going bananas, and they did all kinds of crazy records.
You talking about the one?
You want to go there first?
He's from Miami, but it was such a hot record.
Let me tell you about that with Luke, right?
Yeah.
So I'm jumping in. It's when I'm a young nigga. So at this time, Luke said something about Dre. Tim Dog said something about Dre. There's a bunch of niggas that was talking about Dre because some shit he had went through. Right. So I was just a young goon. I was like, fuck all them niggas. I jumped in and was dissing them niggas. Mm. And in the event of dissing these niggas, I didn't realize who was real and who was fake in the rap industry. We ran up on Luke and them and seen them at a convention and found out how real them niggas
Luke,
was.
100%.
Immediately.
Shout out to the ghetto style DJs.
Shout out to Uncle Luke. Immediately.
Do you remember?
I'm from Long Beach, so I hadn't been outside the hood, so I didn't know that they made gangsters in every state that you went to.
For sure. You remember the record? They made a record. It was Cowards in Compton against Fade and Dave. That was the record.
Let me tell you about that, though. We go to a... Now we come back to Miami, right? This time I'm just Snoop Dogg and the dog pound. No security. I just got the homies with me. So Luke sent a car to get me. This how gangster this nigga is. He sent a car to give me limo, bring me to the club, all kind of bitches laid out for a nigga. Like, nigga, I love you. Nigga, ain't nothing whoop-de-whoop. Boom. Go Go back to L.A. He come to my house. We make a record. We forge a relationship with this nigga Luke to where it's like, this one of the realest niggas we ever met. So
sure.
I had to learn to not disrespect niggas that I didn't know.
Right.
So quick without knowing who the fuck I'm talking about. See, because that rap shit to get you fucked up if you don't know who you're talking about.
Right.
And see, a lot of niggas don't know that. They quick to be like, oh, this bitch ass nigga, fuck that nigga. You better check that nigga resume and see what he about. For real. You better really see what he about.
Like someone talking shit about Trick in Detroit. Nah, it's not gonna happen.
Man, knock it off. You gotta know who you talking about. And it was just a blessing that Luke was a genuine grown ass man, and he was able to see past the ignorance that we had. He forgave us. We became friends. We fucked with him. Played football against him because he coached football too.
Yeah, he definitely.
So
does.
It was. Come on, man. It's my nigga, man. I love Uncle Luke. He always been real.
So this is the last question, Snoop, because you did everything we asked us to do. But listen, Snoop, I've never seen. Listen, I'm on my 7th life. You on your 27th life, which means I've seen you transition, seen people count you out, seen people do that. Seen people do that to me like 17 times. You're on 27. I'm following you. How do you continue to stay here and say, this is what the fuck I'm gonna do?
I made myself a boss. And I'm just gonna tell you the truth. It's like when I first started making money, Jimmy Iovine came to me and he told me, say, buy a studio. And when I bought a studio, I was able to create. It was like buying a sack. And instead of buying a sack, I bought a factory where I was the sack.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So you have to, whatever you love, you gotta be able to surround yourself with it. And when I surrounded myself with what I love, the spirit of what I love keeps me doing what I love. So it's never, why am I doing it? Do I ever want to stop doing it? This is all I know how to do. So I'm going to keep doing it, and I'm going to do it to the point to where it feels good to me. And it's never, oh, this old nigga need to sit down somewhere.
Yeah.
It's like, Uncle Snoop, when you come in with some old shit, you know, the transition is from Young MC, BG, OG, Uncle Snoop. That's a beautiful transition for me.
God damn, make some noise. Yo, Snoop, there's no other way I can say anything else but thank you. Thank you for sitting down with us. And you're going to keep, he ain't going to keep smoking. We're going to keep talking, man.
Yeah, it's motivation. It's pure motivation.
So listen, Snoop. I was trying to hold this out.
We call this a Cuban goodbye, by the way.
No.
This is called Cuban goodbye. But we never leave, but we say goodbye.
Listen, how much pussy did you get there in doggy style? Let's just keep it real. Even if you ain't fucked the pussy, you just got the pussy and you send it off to the other people. Come on, Snoop. Talk about that pussy, goddammit.
Doggy style. You know
the pussy that came.
You know what?
Pussy and doggy style. God damn it. Come on, Snoop. Don't dodge this question.
I'm going to say, you know what? When it came the most, and you probably going to, you ain't going to believe me, but I'm going to tell you the truth.
Uh-huh.
It came the most when Tupac got on Death Row Records.
Because
I had another nigga that was a player just like me that knew how to play.
Because you was knocking these other niggas' bitches.
Exactly. This nigga Pac knocked one of my main bitches, man.
Go ahead, talk about that.
Look at me.
We need to hear this story.
Let me tell you, man.
So you had your main bitch.
Yeah, no, she wasn't my main bitch, but she was
a little bit in your head.
She's a movie star bitch, right? She's a movie star bitch. We won't say her name because we're going to protect the innocent.
Yeah, let's do that. Right.
Let's do that.
Protect the innocent,
goddammit.
She's a movie star bitch, right? Pac is on death row now. He out.
Yep.
So the bitch is in hoopla because everybody wants to meet my nigga. You understand me? And you know I ain't no motherfucking hater. I don't know how to block. I get out the way. So the bitch like, you understand me? I would love to meet Tupac if that's all right with you. I'm like, bitch, it's going to always be all right
and
with
now,
me.
Now, what state were you in?
We was in L.A.
Okay, continue.
This is where all the stars is at.
All the stars.
So now, one night,
yes,
I'm in the club,
mm-hmm,
and the bitch is there. Mm-hmm. And Pac see the bitch. He like, man, I want to meet that bitch, man. I say, hey, man. And
that's exactly how he described her, the bitch.
That's my bitch,
let's
man.
Let's continue.
I'll kindly introduce you to her.
Yeah.
I walks over to him, right, and say, bitch, this is Tupac. Tupac, meet the bitch. So, you know, after he meets the bitch, you know, I walks off. Because, you know, it ain't my job to stand there and see if they going to talk and hug and kiss or whatnot, take a picture. I walks off like a real player. I guess they exchange numbers. I don't know. So, you understand me? A few weeks later, I'm trying to, you know, slide by and go see her because, you know, she's a side piece to me.
Right.
So I'm trying to go see her on the late night like I normally do, you know, leave that back door open. And I'm like, what's happening? I'm finna slide through. You know what I'm saying? Leave that back door open. And the bitch hit me with, I don't think Pac would like that.
Oh.
And this girl was Madonna, for the record, right? For the record, this girl we talking about is Madonna. Let's make some noise.
No, for real, that's what the bitch said.
And for real, was that Madonna?
No, that wasn't Madonna. Hey, that wasn't Madonna. Now look, the nigga, look. Man, this is fucking crazy. You don't think I'm making this shit up?
Nah, no, we don't.
Nigga, I'm doing Saturday Night Live in New York. Nigga, it's documented. Nigga, when I had that Tommy Hilfiger shirt on, the red, white, and blue one, blew the motherfucker up. The shirt sold like a motherfucker, right? So the nigga Pac come and see me. He in New York. He bring me some weed. And he come backstage with the bitch, Madonna.
Oh, with Madonna.
With Madonna.
Oh, we got a Madonna smile.
With Madonna, for real, for real.
I'm about to feel like I can tell you.
Was he cocking Madonna?
Man, he brought the bitch to Saturday Night Live.
So he's cocking. He's cocking.
He was knocking the bitch, man, because he brought me some bud, man, and he had the bitch on his arm, man, and he wasn't even, like, flossing the bitch. He had her right here.
Damn, Madonna had
this way.
Tupac and Big Daddy Kane.
Yeah.
The other way around. Tupac had Madonna, man.
God damn it. You're Snoop. God
down.
This is the Pog. Yo, can I give you a hug in advance? Come on.
Yeah, this is Pog God shit.
Yo, you from M13 for real?
No.
He got cousins from there. All his cousins are from there.
I'm not from MS.
His aunties and cousins, all of them.
Where am I from?
Yeah.
He's from El Salvador.
Salvador? Come on, M13. Where am I from? Come on. I'm from M13 too. Yeah. Deep in my family.
I'm glad I'm Spanish too. You,
yeah, thank you. Yo, goddamn, you're Snoop.
That was heavy, right?
No, you gave us crazy.
No,
shit.
Them two, them last two right there.
That was crazy.
Was
Snoop.
Heavy.
I couldn't believe you were gonna do that.
No, I'm serious, man. That's how the shit went down, man. And one thing about me and my player game, when it comes to me and the women, when I was out there, like I was really fashionably suit for the game, man. Like once upon a time, I walked a red carpet, man, with two bitches on a leash, man. This is documented, okay. Man.
But hold on, I got the famous player award card. Was your shit gold?
My shit. But did you hear what I said, man?
He said two bitches on a leash, man.
The red carpet, man, with two bitches on a leash, and they didn't say one fucking word. So I'm talking about this shit is documented, man. Somebody pull up that picture or that footage. Snoop Dogg with two bitches on a leash.
Do we have any?
You on Wi-Fi?
Listen, you have to mind our manners. We have no manners. Do you have any Prince or Michael Jackson stories?
Yeah, you got Howard.
And Prince. I know you got Prince stories.
Yes. And you see.
Nah, I mean, not. They ain't really worth telling, man. I had a different kind of, you know, relationship with those two guys right there, because it was more about the mutual respect that I had for them as musicians, to where I kind of like it. If I was around them niggas, I would like put my weed up and, you know, have that kind of respect for them.
Snoop
them
has
niggas
never
was,
put his weed up
for them
my
niggas,
whole life.
For them niggas.
You did? Let's describe that situation.
Who'd you have more respect for if you had to pick?
Yeah. It wasn't like it was more. See, this is why I had respect for. I had respect for this motherfucking pimping, nigga. Nigga pimping. Get a close up of it. Get a little closer, nigga. You see that? Two bitches on a leash and they didn't say a motherfucking word. Nigga, we walked the red carpet. It was the news. They was like, so what is your mom gonna say? I said, the bitches ain't gonna say nothing, so you might as well stop asking.
Oh my god.
But look at what they look like though. Is they some bad bitches or is they some trash hoes, man? Man, get a look, put it back up, man. This one, a nigga was a young goon, man. I was a young. Let me look at myself real quick. Man, what nobody doing? These bitches didn't even have bras on, man. I think that was the MTV Awards or something, man. They couldn't believe how a nigga went up in there, man. I fell up in that motherfucker like that night with a leash, man. And then when I sat down, guess what? I made the bitches stand up with the leash on while I'm sitting down. Reverse dog. Because you know, normally you make the dog sit down, bitch stand up. The dog gonna sit down and the bitch gonna stand up. That's called reverse dog.
We heard of reverse pimping.
I made a reverse pimping for
Prince. We've never heard of reverse
dog. That's reverse dog.
Let's make some noise for reverse dog.
That's when you take two bitches on a leash, you walk them down the red carpet, and when you get to your seat, you sit down and you make them bitches stand up in the aisle.
We putting that on TMZ. Yeah.
You ever reverse twin? You know who the twin is? He's a nigga. He drink fake activists. 2 Chainz shit on him. Come on.
I can't afford 2 Chainz lean.
Yeah, because he drink fake lean.
For real?
Don't talk to him like that.
Go fake weed too.
Leave him alone, Snoop.
He gonna
lie. Look. Yo, he fuck with you. Listen, give me some love. He fuck with you. When Snoop pass you a blunt, he fuck with you.
I fuck with the little homie. The little homie gonna be something.
Bought me a Chronic album for real.
I fuck with the little homie. He gonna be something.
But tell him you drink Factivist. Tell him.
No, I don't. It's called Caracol, people.
Caracol.
What do lean make you feel like? I never drunk that shit.
So Snoop.
What it make you feel like?
I don't know, man. Like you smoke like 1,000 fucking blunts. Like when it's the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? You smoke mad blunts. You're already like, fuck. Like, and then it's that time, yeah.
So do you want to have sex when you on lean?
Man, you just want to get head.
Just head.
Yeah.
You don't want to move your hips around.
You just want to be like this. But that's not something. It's not a choice of my job.
I guess when we was young, we just was in the head too.
Listen. Now, can I talk to you?
Yes, please.
This is how we're going to end it. Because I love the way you just took it. These young brothers, they drinking lean. They can't even fuck. They bitches, I'm 38 years old, Snoop.
So you saying the young bitches want to
fuck me?
Want that long?
I'm gonna keep it 100.
That holy rock.
My young niggas, I be coming out, I hang out with them, and they bitches come and say, "Yo, Slime, you still up?" I be like, "Slime, this long dick daddy, baby."
Big dick dangler, the whole strangler.
But I don't because I'm married, Snoop.
I feel
but
temptation is a motherfucker.
What I'm trying to say is the new generation too much hooked on drugs?
I think the new generation is doing what every generation before them has
been
done.
It's
just repeating itself. It's just a matter of they have to understand that don't let the drug do you. You understand what I'm saying? The way you can't be in control no more. One thing about my era, when I became a rapper, I was an ex-cocaine dealer. So my mission was to get rid of cocaine and to bring weed to the forefront. So my mission has been accomplished because now weed is legalized in the whole globe and it's coming slowly but surely to a hood near you. So
make some noise for that.
Yeah, for real.
When you say coke, was it powder or was it crack?
I sold crack.
Okay.
Yeah. I sold that hula doula.
You want some good?
I sold that hula doula.
I want some right now.
Hula doula, the crack house ruler.
I'm trying to lose weight.
Hula doula. Who want that hula doula?
Cass Newell, sorry. Trick Daddy friend. They smoke crack over there. Sorry.
We smoke bunk.
They call that a primo when they put that inside of a joint. They put a little sprinkle a little bit in the joint.
Did you hear about how Miami niggas they keep it real?
Yeah, they do their thing.
They smoke that dank.
Man, and they gangsters a motherfucker out here. I respect the 305 in a real motherfucking way.
They different.
No, I respect them niggas.
Yeah.
Believe that.
Because you've been coming out here 20 years. Keep it real.
I fucks with him.
Shit, we just found out Daz lives out here in Miami Lakes.
He lives in the hood.
That's that nigga cousin.
He fucked our head up when he said that.
You don't remember that nigga? That's his first cousin,
that's
too.
That's my blood cousin.
Yeah, that's his blood. That's crazy. Yeah, yeah. When Daz said that shit, I said, damn, these niggas been out here.
So Snoopy,
forever.
As long as I've been out here, and you my relative, nigga. Goddamn it. Make some noise for me. Goddamn it.
No, believe me.
I don't even know. Still so Snoop.
What it do?
So. Yo, I can't thank you enough for sitting down with us smoking. I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna smoke. You got another rolled up blunt too?
Right here.
Can you give me
Cuban
one?
Goodbye.
Is this 50 yeah, shit right here? F and vodka?
Yeah, that's F and vodka. Yeah, can we fuck with 50?
I fuck with 50.
We got 50 shit and we got puffy shit.
We got puffy. Listen.
There's mad beef on the table.
Richard, I'm taking more check slot.
Look.
Yo.
Wait, look. So
the bottles is beefing right now.
So puffy. So, they ain't even supposed to be this close to
No, puffy. No. Watch out. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Which one of these bottles can bust a nigga over the head?
I don't know. But one of them niggas gonna get the check.
Drink champs, we good.
Yo, listen, man. A lot of people can do what we just did. Right now, we sat down and talked to the boss of another coast.
Mm.
We chopped it up. We had fun. We laughed. We smoked. We drank. We did all that. A lot of y'all people, I don't know what it is. Fuck it, leave that shit on my shit. A lot of y'all can't do that. We just did it with Snoop Dogg.
He's smoking on some real Cali too.
And that's real Cali.
That shit in his hand right there, that's that do it fluid.
And
that's
look,
that electrifying.
I'm pimping the collar. He
popped me. I'm pimping the collar. Look, I don't even know why I'm pimping the collar.
Let's do it. End the picture.
Yeah, that's that electrifying.
Yo, wait, hold on. Make some noise for Snoop Dogg, everybody.
Yeah, Kool-Aid man, baby. I like that feedback.